The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Jesus made a statement talking to us that repentance and a remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations. I want you to go to the book of Luke chapter 24, and we're going to read that verse as we begin the sermon here today. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 47, we read this particular statement, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And brethren, I think we certainly all know and we certainly understand that salvation is a gift of God. Romans 6:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the gift of God is eternal life, and is given as a gift from God. And so we understand where salvation comes from. And brethren, we also should all know and understand that only those who truly repent, and then also those who believe the gospel, will be the ones who receive that gift. In fact, when we really take a look at what the Bible tells us, the first thing that we are told to do by Jesus Christ Himself was to repent and to believe the gospel. Let's go to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, and let's see this. Mark chapter 1 and verse 13. In Mark 1 and verse 13, and He was there in the wilderness. He, of course, is Jesus Christ. This is when He had gone to the wilderness for the purpose to be tempted. This is what it says in other places. I'm kind of jumping in the middle of it here. And He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto Him. Verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying... Now, when you look at other verses in other Gospels, it's very plain that He was there in the wilderness and He came straight in and preaching. And this is what it's saying. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. This is the first message that He gave. This is the first point that He makes. This is a very important thing. And so I think this is something that we need to consider. We need to look at. For a person who considers themselves a true believer, a Christian, for a person to walk the walk of God's way of life, I think we should understand and comprehend and even look at that there is a broad foundation that is laid for us on which we are to walk. There's this broad foundation. There's a way of life that we're to be walking. There is this foundation that is laid. It is on that foundation that we start moving, and it's there that everything is built. And we walk on something that is very, very important. And what we also need to understand is that repentance is the first block, or the first brick, or the first board, or the first whatever it is that we would use in laying a foundation. It is number one. It is the first one that is laid, is repentance. Now, that's an important point for us to understand as well. The why Jesus began at repentance is because it's the first point of the foundation. It isn't the whole of it, but it's the first point of the foundation on which all things are laid and built up from there. And this is why it's a very important thing for us to see and to understand. The whole foundation, starting with brick one, all of this foundation is found listed for us in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. So let's go there. Let's go there and let's look at this foundation. For the whole way of life of Christianity, that's where it starts from. In Hebrews chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. This word doctrine would probably be in our language today be better for us in an understanding way to use the word teaching. Therefore, leaving the principles of the teachings of Christ. Now, I'll read the word doctrine, but I think for a clarification, we can see that because this is what the word would mean. Let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation. And then he starts listing out the bricks or the blocks or whatever we would call it in the laying of the foundation. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Not laying again the foundation, the point of the foundation of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And those are the blocks of the foundation. And the first one is repentance from dead works. God willing, we are starting a series on these basic or these elementary foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start with brick number one, repentance from dead works. Probably one of the very first statements that we could make, and maybe even would better even use the word that we should make to help us in our understanding of repentance from dead work, is to understand that we are to repent of dead works, not to repent of live works. Because there are dead works and there are live works. And that's an important point to understand as well. There are places, there are teaching, there are teachers who will state there are no works that we are to be doing because all was done through Jesus Christ. That's not exactly true. There are works that we're to be doing. My focus in this is not going to be so much upon the live works or the good works, but it's going to be on the understanding of the repentance from the dead works, and that's what we want to focus on. So repentance from dead works, as was already said, is one of the foundational principles which must not be laid again, even though we must renew our repentance day by day. This is not laying again the foundation. We're not laying again that foundation because we don't have to go back to that, because once that is passed, once we understand what it is, and then once we've moved beyond that, we've moved beyond it. We don't have to keep going back and laying that foundation. Don't have to keep laying that foundation. But we are to renew our repentance daily. And I'd also like to make this statement. Please do not let us forget that point. Because it doesn't do away with it. We don't ever have to repent. Once we've repented, we never have to repent again. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what the Scriptures teach. And I make that statement because there are some who do not understand. I'm not saying that there's some of you who do not understand, but I'm saying that there are some people who do not understand. They think once we've ever repented, you never repent again. You never have to do it again. That's simply a person who is making a statement, I don't understand what repentance is. That's really what it amounts to when they make those kinds of statements. Well, we're going to go through and we're going to say. For many of us today, this is obviously going to be a real good review. And that's good. And there are others who have never heard some of these. There are some who have never heard this. I've talked to people in our group, in our congregations, that have said they've never heard sermons on these basic doctrines. And I think that's a shame, maybe even a shame to us, that we've not done this before, but I think it's a real good thing for us to do, and so this is why I want to start and do with this now. Okay. Repentance is essential in laying the foundation. Every human is commanded to repent. Repentance is essentially a change of the will. Now, I know we can define, and we've used it in various terms, you know, repentance is going in a new direction, and all of those things are graphic, and all of those things help point it out, and all of those things helps us to understand it in a big, broader way. I'm looking at it, what the word would mean. It would be a change of the will. It is the rebellious will that we would have just because we're basically human beings. Because of this, it is this rebellious will becoming a will to serve God. Our human way of looking at things, our will, we change that and we become and doing the will of God. That's repentance. That's repentance. There's a whole lot of other ways of saying it, but I think it's a very simple way of stating it. And now as for dead works, There are some who try to save themselves by trusting in their works. I know we have been accused of that. We, meaning the Church of God, we have been accused of that for years and years and years. People have said, will you say that you to do these things and do these things and do those things? And I went, you don't really understand what we're saying when you make those statements. And when you really understand it, I don't think that people really will be making a statement that we believe that we are saved through works. But having said that, do we all understand that there are works and we aren't saved by those works? So that's why we need to go through this and take a look at this. Because when you really look at it, trusting in their works, any of us who trust in our works for salvation, then please understand those works, they are vain to save as though they were dead. If we think our works are going to save us, then they're dead works. Now that may be a totally different way of stating this than most of us may have thought before. If we believe our works that are good works to be done, if we are doing them for the purpose, thinking that we're going to receive salvation as a result of them, then those works are dead works. Because we'll never be saved by them. The Greek word for repentance, and even the same word for repent, is metanomia, meaning a change of mind. Now I said it's a change of will, but the word literally would mean change of mind. Because here's what happened. Thoughts originate from the heart. Maybe we could say from the emotion of us, from our emotional seat as being a human being. It starts there, and then it goes on through the mind. And that's where the change is to take place. That's where we start it. And then it goes into our actions, including our words. Our words, our actions, and all of that. And then that's where it comes out. And that's what we do. So when Jesus says to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he was saying that we are to have a change of heart and a change of mind. And so a person can say, well, I've grown up in the church and I've never really done anything bad. I've never really sinned, and therefore I don't really have anything to repent of. Now, do you think anybody would ever make that statement? And the answer is, yeah, they do, because I've had many people to do this, second and third or fourth generation Christians who come along, young people, and say, I've never really done anything bad. I really don't have anything to repent of. And I'm like, you don't understand repentance. And that's a good point in one sense, because now we teach them what repentance is, and then they can actually come to the place of repentance. Because it isn't just bad acts, it's even of the mind. And we'll see this. And so we see this from actually the word itself. It is a change of thought. It is a change of our whole way of doing things, and it's all of that. So what Jesus is saying is that our selfish heart must go, and once that's gone, then we can talk and we can act and live like a Christian. Every thought and every action of natural, fleshly mankind is, in God's eyes, a dead work. Now, I know I'm going to make some statements that are fairly blunt. And you're going to, and I know some of you maybe even have questions. Well, wait a minute. Well, what about the fact of these people out here who are not part of the church, you know, have never known the church, and they really do all of these good deeds? We'll comment on that as we go through the sermon. I will address that because I know that some of you may have that thought, because that's a very good thought to, you know, to state. Well, what about those? Well, what about them? I will remake the statement. Every thought and every action at the natural, fleshly, human dealings is, in God's eyes, dead works. It is an action that is void of spiritual life. I'm very exact in my separation here. You have all humanity of which we are part. And out of all of humanity, there are some people who have the Holy Spirit of God that is leading their lives. If out of all humanity, if you take those people who have the Holy Spirit of God that are leading them in their lives, and you leave everyone else, am I saying everything else that these people think and every action that they do, is it dead works? And my answer is, yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I am saying that. And you will agree with us, I think, by the time we come to the end of the sermon. Please go with me to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 9, Luke chapter 9 and verse 60. Luke chapter 9 and verse 60. A disciple comes to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come and follow me. And the man says, well, let me first go and bury my dead. Well, let's see what Jesus makes a comment. And this is in verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, what was Jesus doing here? Jesus was equating those doing the burying with those being buried. Let the dead bury the dead. He's equating them as the same. And what is the same here? They're dead. In God's eyes, both were lifeless. Both were without the Spirit. Now, is it wrong to bury your dead? Of course not. In fact, should we do that? Of course we should. That's not his point here. Jesus' point, that's not his point here. His point was they are both in their thing, and they're both in the way they're approaching life. One is completely dead. He has no life in him. And the other, in dealing with that, they're dead because they don't have spirit life. And he's saying, you have a much more bigger responsibility here. You're going to go out and you're going to spread life. If you follow if you just think about this and follow this, this is a very important point also. Please understand that without God, our plans, our dreams are lifeless and vain. That's called dead works. So what are dead works? Well, according to Hebrews 6, they are something that we are to repent of. It means change. Change. Change of heart. Change of will. Change of mind. Change of action. We're to change. The phrase dead works, I understand, can become very quickly confusing. Especially when you read verses like over in Revelation chapter 1. So let's go to Revelation chapter 1 and see what I'm talking about. In Revelation chapter 1, we know that chapter 2 and 3 in Revelation is, and unto the angel of the church, and he gives a message to him. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. So they're works. He said, I know your works. Now who is he talking to? The guy down the block that doesn't believe in God? No, this is to the church. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, and you are dead. Now, it looks as if, it appears as if, that the Bible talks about two kinds of dead works. You see, Sardis had works, but apparently their works were dead works. It appears if there may be maybe many different ways of describing dead works, but I'm narrowing it even down very, very tight here and saying there's two kinds of dead works that I can see clearly now out of the Scriptures. The first one is those works that we do before we are converted as a means to try and please God. Those things that we do and we're trying to please God. Before we're converted, before we know God, before we've repented and really come. Okay, let's go back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. Many of you may have this verse at least as a recognizable verse. You may not recall it word by word, but anyway, Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like in the wind, have taken us away. So it's as if all of our works before we are converted, that's the way they are. Are our works to stay that way? Of course not. Of course not. As part of the body of Jesus Christ, are all of our works to remain and to continue to be as filthy rags? Of course not. So this is talking about before we would have received the Holy Spirit of God, leading our lives, directing our lives in the way that God wants us to go. And then we have humbled ourselves and we're going in that direction. Do we fall down at times and make mistakes and fall right in the middle of the mud? Absolutely. And what do? We get up and we repent and we continue in that same direction. But before that, this is where our righteousness is. Everything they did that would even be considered as good. This is filthy rags. I'm using the term dead works. A second way, a second kind of dead works would be those works we do after we had converted that are not pleasing to God. Because see, I'm only looking at dead works. I'm not looking at good works here. I'm only looking at dead works. So the first one is all of those things that we do before we are converted. And the second one is all of those things that we are doing after we are converted that are not pleasing God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's begin in verse 10. We'll read 10 through 12. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, this is Apostle Paul speaking, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. So he's saying, pay attention. What are we building on the foundation? No, so there's a caution here. Then what is the caution? That what we lay on it may not be good. That's the point that he's saying. That's real simple what he is saying here. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. Anything that is apart from Jesus Christ is a wrong foundation. That's the point that he's directing us to take heed to. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, those are all dead works. If we deal anything that is contrary to Jesus Christ, you think Jesus Christ would be wood, hay, and stubble, for example? Of course not. Of course not. That's what he's showing here. Anything that we would do, anything that we do after conversion, after we are to know the truth and to be living a glorified way of life in this flesh, yes, Jesus Christ living in us, anything that we do that's contrary to Jesus Christ and that foundation and all of that, it's dead works. Now, to help what I would consider to help further understand what is meant by Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, because this is the only place, only other place, where the phrase dead works is used. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now, let's just read this and take out the phrases in the middle that is just emphasizing Jesus. We always want to emphasize Jesus, but I want to do it to show you the point that I'm making here. How much more shall the blood of Christ purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Jesus Christ is purging our conscience. What did I achieve? That really the word repentance means? Change of mind. Starts there. I mean, you remember this. Okay. So our conscience is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from dead works. When you read the whole of the context, and we could have read the entirety of chapter 9, and we will see this even much clearer, but you can do that on your own at another time. But the context indicates that man cannot be justified by the works of the law. Does that mean don't keep the law? That's not the point at all. It says we're not justified by the keeping of the law, but only by the blood of Jesus Christ. In other words, repentance from dead works is the doctrine, is the teaching that we must repent from trusting in our own dead works to save us. Instead, we are to trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is a gift. Eternal life is a gift from God. We understand, of course we don't earn salvation. And then right there is where many people in the Church of God even get confused. But what about all of these things that we're to be doing? If we're doing them with the idea in mind, through those we're going to be saved, even though they're things that are to be done, they're dead works. It's not going to save us. And that's really for the church, that really is what this is referring to. Does this mean that we are not to keep the law? Of course we are to keep the law. So let me state this. Let me state it again in this way. Anything that we do that is opposite of God's word is dead works. Anything that we do, including anything that we do that God has even told us to do, if we're doing it with the idea, thinking that we're going to be saved through it, that's still dead works. If we think of the keeping of the commandments of God, all of them, including the Sabbath and all things, all of these things that we know that are right and good and holy, and we're to be doing these things. If we do those things that are commanded by God to do, and if we do them thinking by doing those we're going to be saved, those are also dead works. Because that's never going to save us. The keeping of the commandments and thinking it's going to be saved through it is dead works. Certainly, the breaking of the commandments is also dead works. So you could say, well, wait a minute, I'm in trouble if I don't do them, and I'm in trouble if I do do them. Not if you do them with the right heart, with the right thing, knowing why we're doing them. Because very simply, it takes Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit for us to accomplish live works or good works. And you can read that on your own. You can see that through Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. That's what that is telling us. I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ lives in me. And He does it. So could we state that dead works are works of sin? Yes. Yes. Because they are the opposite of life works or good works. Only by eating of the tree of life, which is really simply another way of stating living the godly way of life, can we begin to understand the difference between true good and true bad. You know, what really is good and what really is bad. It is only through that, only by taking of the tree of life, only by the living the godly way of life, the things that God has said to do, can we really come to the place that we really understand. Worldly knowledge without understanding God's way of life leads to dead works. And that would be anything that we do that God's word tells us not to do. Remember, we repent of good works, not live works or good works. We repent of dead works. So are there examples that we can see to get a point? Yeah, there's all kinds of examples. We could start in the first chapter and go all the way through the entire book, and we could see good examples and bad examples. Examples of dead works and examples of good works. And we can go all the way through. We want to see just a few, but we do want to see some. Let's start with some live works. Let's go to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1, verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, in other words, who's continuing in the godly way of life, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, what he's supposed to be doing, that man shall be blessed in his deed, in his doing. So are there works? Yeah, there are works. So if anybody tells you, oh, the Christian, there are no works for the Christian, go, bye-bye, thank you. Because they don't understand. They just don't understand. And I don't know that we can hold them accountable in that sense, because they obviously just haven't been called. They don't understand this. And we certainly don't point a finger. We don't get in an argument. We don't do any of those kinds of things because they don't get it. If they haven't been called, they don't see it. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God. They're not going to understand this. Verse 27. Remember, we're looking at good works or live works. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Those are live works. Are we going to be saved by doing these things? Of course not. Are we be doing these things? Yes. Are they works? Yes. Are we saved by them? No. If we think we're being saved by these and doing these things, are they dead works or live works? They're dead works. Because we're not going to be saved by them. Okay, I want to go to James chapter 2 for some dead works. James 2 verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there comes unto you, into your assembly, a man with a gold ring, in goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment, in vile clothing. And you have respect to him that wears the gay or the goodly apparel. The word doesn't mean the same today. And you say unto him, sit you here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand you there, or sit you under my footstool. Verse 4. Are you not partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? And the answer is, yeah, you are. Verse 9. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced or convicted of the law as transgressors. So it becomes very obvious, being a respecter of persons is a dead work. So what do we do then? Well, James also tells us, that's why we're using looking at James, because it has it in chapters just straight down. Chapter 4, James 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Oh, okay. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. We think this is a good way of doing it, but we know God tells us this way of doing it, and we go back and forth and back and forth. That's double-minded. There's a lot of different examples of double-minded, but in the context of what I'm saying, that's what double-minded is here. Verse 9, be afflicted, or we're to be involved in fasting. Why? So that we will humble ourselves to draw closer to God. Because we want to do it God's way, not my will, but your will be done. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Is submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil and drawing closer to God and cleansing our hands, all of these things, could these things be considered as examples of works, of good works? Yeah, they could. Because if you don't submit yourself and if you don't humble yourself before God, we're not going to be there. Are we going to be saved by this? No, because we're not saved by works. Because if we think we're being saved by anything that we do, that's dead works. These live or good works, when we do this, this is what we begin to do when we repent of dead works. We're not going to truly do these things until we have the heart and the attitude of repenting of dead works. We submit ourselves to God. That has to be there. And all these other things. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Verse 9. James 5 verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. This word, grudge, in other translations are as complain or murmur. Takes on a different meaning whenever we, you know, when we think about words that can be used in different ways. The word means to cause harm to another. It could be physical, but it also could be emotional because of our words. It also means, part of the meaning is, to put them in straits or hardship. So grumbling, complaining, or murmuring against one another is dead works. And we are to repent of that. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Are these examples of good works or bad works or dead works? Well, we understand, obviously, all of these are dead works of which we are to repent. Do we ever find ourselves doing any of those things? Probably, from time to time, in some form or another, when we really understand all of those words, we repent of them. Why? Because they're examples of dead works. And we are to repent of dead works. It's the basic, it's the first step in the foundation and toward living a godly way of life. They are all of these things and other places that we could see as well. Many other places throughout the pages of the Bible we could see, but these in particular I'm referring to here. They are cause and effect results of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is a worldly knowledge without or worldly knowledge apart from God's understanding. Is trying to work it out our own way. Because I would dare say that there are many of these things here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, that people will do, and they would tell you what they're doing is right. And they reason it out of worldly knowledge. It is eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, and then I want to make some comments about the trees, the two trees in the garden. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, what God just did here through John was he summarized the whole of the world in worldly thinking and worldly knowledge, eating of the wrong tree, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He just summarized them into three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. It is of that tree. It is of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is not of the tree of life. These works are the same ones Adam and Eve decided to do back in the garden. They decided what was good for mankind and what was evil. That's what they decided. God said, don't do this. And they looked at it and they just came to the conclusion and says, huh, you know what? This is good for food. This will do this and this will do the other thing. And God had just said, don't. It's wrong. Don't do it. And they decided to do it. So that's what they decided. And by extension, they, in that sense, decided for all of mankind down through history. And so we've been following the same decisions. That's what they did. And as a result, it was symbolically what they were doing was taking God's place as ruler. They were putting themselves in the place of God. So how bad is it for us to be doing dead works? When you really get into it, when you really think about it, as we do dead works, what we really are doing in a symbolic way is we are saying, I can rule and I don't need God to rule. Now, I know that whenever we do things that are wrong, I know we don't think that. But symbolically, that is what we're doing. And that's an important point of why we are to repent of dead works. Stop doing things that are contrary to God's way of life. It's just a simple another way of stating, but that's what God has said. Now, the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is still eating from the wrong tree. And there are times where people say, well, you know, well, I know these people who are not even part of the church, and they live their lives, and they're better than, you know, some people in the church. And I go, no, they're not. No, they're not. It's still of the wrong tree. There's two sides to the bad tree, because it's a bad tree. He said, don't eat of that one. Don't eat of that one. It has two sides to it. But don't eat of the, he didn't say, don't eat of the bad side of that tree, did he? He said, don't eat of that tree. And there's a good side and there's a bad side. But what we understand is from the human way of looking at it, humanity will come to the place and say, anyone who does these things, that's evil, that's wrong. And everybody, and pretty much everybody would agree, unless it really is a sicko, and I'm not dealing with that person. I'm talking about a normal, everyday, good old Joe walking down the street. They would look and say, yeah, of course that's bad. And anything that's over on the other side, they would say, but this is good. What we need to understand is, brethren, it is still the wrong tree. It is still dead works. Now, I know sometimes it's really hard for people to grasp. You say, so you're telling me that my grandmother, who was a really fine, you know, person, and she did all these wonderful things for people, and she didn't really know God. She wasn't led by the Spirit of God, but she did all these wonderful things. You're telling me all those things were dead works. Yes, that's what the Bible says. This is what he's teaching us. Anything that we do that is contrary to what God tells us to do, we need to repent of it. And we repent of the dead works. Eating of that tree is dead works. And that's everything that man gets himself involved in. I don't care how good or what it looks like, how wonderful it looks. If it's apart from God's knowledge, teaching, telling how to do it, if you're not doing it that way, it's dead works. And I know that may come as a shock to some people. It's still the wrong tree. Now, having said that, I am very happy that there are people that eat of the good side of the wrong tree that are my neighbors. If you follow what I'm saying, I'm still rather that they eat of that tree than the other side. It's still the wrong tree. And we are to repent of that. Does this make sense? I hope this is making sense. Because any good from this tree is only human knowledge. It is not godly knowledge. The godly knowledge back in the garden was to simply don't eat the tree. That was the godly knowledge. That was the right decision. That was the godly choice. That was the good work. And doing anything else is dead works. And so when they ate of that tree and when we humans continue to eat of that tree, it's still dead works. I understand this is a very big topic. This thing of the two trees, but what about the good side? There are people who do all these wonderful things. Right. And I'm glad society does those wonderful things. It's still dead works because it's off the wrong tree. Now, like I said, I may need to cover this even in a bigger way at some other point, and we may want to do that. But anyway, let's go on. Let's go on to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 18, 1 John 3 and verse 18, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We are to turn away from dead works, and we are to begin to love as God loves, in deed and in truth. We are therefore to repent of dead works." We're to accomplish things, approach things, live a way of life as God would have us to. That's what he's saying here. We do it God's way, not what I think is right, even though it may look okay, and even though it may look just fine and dandy and all of those kinds of things. If this is not of God, it may be good, but it's human good, and it's still on the wrong tree, and that's the point. So, brethren, I think that after looking at, as we did, you know, we read this, what is stated to the church in Sardis, I think that there is no question about it that we need to look at ourselves to see if we are serving God with our own predetermined works as being good, when in reality they may be really dead works. Even though we may think they're good, we may think they're right, but it may not be according to God. And that's what we have to look at. It's not, we don't decide humanity as humanity. We can decide that we want to worship God and we want to do it the way we want to do it. Well, you know what? God allows that, but it's still dead works if we're not doing it the way he says to do it. And that's what really blows people's mind. That's what's really is hard to accept about dead works, repentance from dead works. You mean all these people who are doing all these wonderful things in the name of the Lord, and if I can't serve right out of the Bible, they're supposed to be the way God does it, the dead works? Yes, that's what I'm saying. There are a whole bunch of people who do not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and they've chosen to do it another day. And they're really fine people and doing a lot of great things in society. It's dead works. And I know that comes as a shock to a lot of people to say it even in that way. But that's what it is. There has to be repentance and change taking place in our lives. If we learn that we have been trying to serve God by dead works, even though we thought that they were good works, at least it's what we thought they were, and we were saying that it was, calling them that, there has to be a turning and going in the correct way. And that turning and going in the direct way and the good way and start doing it the godly way of life is under the category of repentance from dead works. Because now we're trying to get back in the way of what God says is good. There has to be the doing truly good or life works as God defined them in the Holy Bible. Not what we say they are, what God says they are. So to state it again, a dead work is anything that we do that is not according to God's way of life. It is anything that is devoid of the life of God. When you boil it all down, when you get down close to the end of discussing this particular topic, we all come to the place that we realize that we are to follow the example of Jesus Christ, who did no dead works. None. Zero. Nilch. None. 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 Ever. And we're to follow that example. He also tells us that he did nothing of himself, that everything he did was what the Father showed him to do. We can see this in many different places in Scripture. I want to go to just a couple of places and see it. Let's go to John chapter 5, the book of John chapter 5, and I want to see something here in John 5, verse 19. We'll start. John 5 and verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also does the Son likewise. And it's real plain, we're told. And we're to follow his example. So we just do what he did, and then we're not doing dead works. And I mean, you're going to say, well, that sounds so simple. Well, you know what? It is that simple. I didn't say the doing it was simple. I said the stating it, because that's what it is. That's what it is. That's what he wants us to do. Whatever Jesus did, that's what we do. Anything else that is contrary to the way Jesus would have done it, because he says, I only did what the Father told me to do, and anything else, it's dead works. Verse 30. This is still in John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. Oh, and we can do so many things of ourselves. We get to decide what is good and bad, what is right and wrong. Well, this is okay. It's all right if we do this. Is it? But that's what we say, and you know that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because my hand would have to go up too. I've done this. I've said, oh, this is okay. Is it? If it's not, it's a dead work. And of that, we are to repent. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. In other words, I take it in and I see what it is, and that's what I determine to do. That's what he's saying here. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Let's go to John 14, verse 10. John 14 and verse 10. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father which dwells in me. He does the works. And today, we have the opportunity and the blessing of having Jesus Christ live his life in us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we need to be able to make the same statement. Just as he said it of the Father is in me, we can say, Jesus is in me, in my life. Then we're doing good works. So, dead works or good works? Which? Which one did Jesus do? Well, it's obvious. It's obvious. And as I said, we are to follow him. And we also are to fully yield our lives over to our Heavenly Father and trust him, looking to him for direction and guidance and obeying him when he asks us to do something that he would want us to do. You go, well, God's not going to ask me to do something. Of course he has. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Is that not asking us to do it? Absolutely. So when somebody says, yes, but the Sabbath has been changed, which tree are they eating off of? It's obvious which tree they're eating off of. And so anything they do that's connected with that is of the wrong tree, and that's dead works. Or God also said, be you holy, for I am holy. Are we to be holy? To be otherwise is dead works. So, brethren, removing the dead works prepares us for the way for the rest of the foundation so that we can build on, so that we can go on toward perfection. By doing so, by laying first the repentance of dead works, because that's first, that's number one, and they're in an order. And you build upon. And so once that is started, then we're going to be moving on unto perfection. And then we will not stay as spiritual babes, which is what the Apostle Paul is addressing here. He says, some of you are still as babies spiritually when you should be able to be teachers, but I don't want you to stay there. I want you to move on to perfection. And we're not going to go through this. We're not going to lay again the foundation of, because you should already have it. That's his point. And he lays these things. And so we see the order. We see the foundation that is to be laid. And if we find ourselves still back there dealing with the foundation, then we need to do those things and to move on toward perfection and not be spiritual babes. That's what he's telling us. But by doing that, then we will grow and learn how to know what God would do in any situation. What God would do in any situation. So that we can actually do what He asked us to do. Whatever He has recorded for us in the pages of the Bible. And we start with repentance from dead works. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put My name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God has blessed us. We have the foundation laid. Maybe we need to go back through it and to see it. But God has blessed us. We desire to continue to be the people of God. God bless each one of you, and God bless each one of us.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.